Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the local, seasonal, and organic delights at Farm Star Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farm Star features artisan pizzas, salad, appetizers, and desserts with vegan and gluten-free offerings. I didn't pause. Vegan offerings, craft beer, and eclectic wines. Farm Star Pizza is open Monday through Friday for lunch, noon on Saturday and Sunday, and for dinner, 7 nights a week with live music on Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. They're located at 2359 The Esplanade. Visit farmstarpizza.com or like them on Facebook. And we're also made possible by Duffy's Tavern, a local Chico tradition since 1989, offering a true 16-ounce pint of Guinness on tap. And Guinness is vegan, by the way. A full bar and the Chico News and Review favorite, Bloody Marys. Duffy's is located on the corner of 4th and Main and is open daily from 11 a.m. till 2 a.m. daily and noon till 2 a.m. on weekends. This is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM or streaming online at kzfr.org. And you can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Danny Toms. Today we're going to talk about a dairy labor recruitment program in Wisconsin, followed by a scofflaw Visalia dairy farmer, and finishing up with some excerpts from a great interview with actress and ethical vegan Ivana Lynch, who played Luna Lovegood in the Harry Potter movies. Jeannie, I'd like you to remember to always avoid the nargles.
I should have queued up some Harry Potter music or something, right? That would have been great.
What do you got for us?
All right. Veg News reported that 8 inmates graduated from a new dairy program at the John Burt Correctional Center in Wisconsin. Inmates in the Wisconsin prison system are working in the Department of Corrections 4 dairy farms. Yes, they operate 4 dairy farms as part of the prison system there. As part of an 8-week job training program spearheaded by the state's Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clefish. The milk produced by the inmates, and it's actually not produced by the inmates, is it? It's produced by the cows. The milk produced by the inmates is sold to correctional facilities in both Wisconsin and Minnesota. Once inmates are released, the Department of Corrections will assist them in finding jobs, presumably in the dairy industry. There are at least 12 farms in the area that have already hired previous inmates and graduates from this program. Earlier this month, Arizona dairy farmer Paul Rovey spoke about the dairy farm labor shortage in the United States, stating that, quote, over half of the U.S. dairy farm labor pool is comprised of foreign-born workers, and our industry cannot operate without immigrant workers. Yet, despite high unemployment rates, we cannot find enough American workers to fill our job needs. They are just not interested in working on a dairy farm. In addition to struggling to find employees, the dairy industry has experienced a continual downturn in profits over recent years, which we've reported on over and over. Dairies are closing all over. I was just reading in Veg News, they had a little news report that North Dakota has seen a decline of 75% of its dairies.
Right? Wow.
So, anyway. So stark downturn over a number of years, and that's in contrast to the uplifting statement from Clefish about hiring this program, hiring prison inmates, trained prison inmates. And then contrast that to the plant-based food sector with all these great vegan products that we see coming out, plant-based milk being a big part of the sector, has created about 60,000 high-paying jobs and has boosted the U.S. economy by $3.7 billion in 2016 alone. So, yeah, I just thought this was a curious program, right?
Indeed.
Because we normally a decent job, you don't need to go to hire your own workers, right? They go get trained on their own, or they get training on the job, right? Assume they show up. It seems like this industry ain't happening.
And the industry, you know, has job fairs or provides paid training. I think, you know, one similarity here between the prisoner trainees and the cows is none of them are getting paid. And I'm very leery of convict labor because that's very similar to what happens in places like North Korea and China. This is not making license plates for your, because you're a prisoner, you committed a crime, and you're taking a tax burden off something the state has to do already. This is effectively loaning labor initially, and then, quote-unquote, providing jobs. I'm all for work training for prisoners, because we failed to rehab, but I'm pretty sure they're not getting paid for this initial part, which is pretty sketchy.
The training part, probably not, but yeah, I think we're both familiar with the prison work farms that are work centers that where the inmates get paid very low wages, like a buck or two an hour.
Right.
That goes into their own commissary accounts.
And so here you've got, you know, this industry that, as we've talked about before, gets effectively free groundwater, shared natural resource. They get subsidies. They get crop insurance from the government. They get bailed out. And now they're getting labor, all trying to, you know, uplift what's obviously a failing economy, a failing industry that's just not profitable without, imagine what the numbers would be without all the government assistance, you know?
There wouldn't be as many cows at all. Yeah, and it's interesting you bring up the water issue because Lieutenant Governor Clefish is a big booster of the dairy industry. In January, she supported a bill that was going through the state assembly in Wisconsin that would authorize high-capacity water wells,
mm-hmm.
freshwater wells, to pump water to benefit dairies.
Right. I mean, I'm sure the dairies are very big boosters of the government through their lobbying efforts,
yeah.
right, of Governor Clefish.
Yeah.
And sort of a vicious cycle there.
Yeah, she had this rather outrageous statement that I think it's outrageous in terms of the dairy industry, and that is that farmers are the first and truest environmentalists, and you need water to grow your industry.
Right.
Right. That on the face of it, knowing what we know and what we've shared with our audience about the really inadequate waste treatment that goes on from these big dairies and pig farms and such, those are not environmental operations.
Usually either not cleaned up at all or cleaned up later by the taxpayer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very true to say that farmers of any stripe are much more dependent on a healthy environment.
Correct, yeah.
To make money, but that doesn't necessarily make them true environmentalists in the sense that this lieutenant governor is trying to imply.
They support the environment, you know, the specifics of the environment necessary for them to profit, and only those narrow specifics like water intake.
Water, open grazing land that they can rent for cheap to graze their cattle on.
Right.
You know, not paying attention to the externalities of their business that affects everybody. So you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio. What's up next, Danny?
Well, we have a following news piece, which will let folks judge for themselves what California animal agriculture is all about. The Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control Board. Is that a good acronym?
No, it's not. Not a good acronym, but it's what it does.
Maybe it is in Russian. Said it fined Sweeney Dairy of Visalia $75,600 for failing to file its 2015 annual report about the impacts of the dairy on water quality. And if that rings funny to you, the next sentence will explain it. Additionally, owner James Sweeney admits he has not filed a yearly report since 2009. The board upped the ante by also issuing a cease and desist order. If the dairy owner does not file the report, The board could refer the case to the Attorney General offices for prosecution, said Water Quality Control Board spokesperson Doug Pattison. The Sweeney Dairy also failed to put in place other requirements, such as groundwater monitoring, the board said. In his defense, Sweeney said groundwater monitoring will cost his business at least $1,800 a year, which is only a lot of money if you're not a massive business owner. In an interview, he said he did not file the reports at first because the dairy industry was on hard times and he could not afford it. But now it's a matter of principle because what they're doing is wrong, he said. So, you know, again, to remind our listeners, if you're a person of color and, you know, you jaywalk, you might go to jail. If you're a white person involved in agriculture or ranching, as we saw with the Nevada ranchers case who took over the Oregon.
Oh, Clive and Bundy. The family business is taking over public institutions and holding
Or this, you know, white criminal here who since 2009... What is it, 2017, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, something, over a decade has been violating the law over relatively trivial amounts of money. Certainly a dairy can come up with $1,800 a year. That's, you know, a tractor wheel. And he's not in jail. It just continues. There's great disparity there. Since 2011, the regional board has levied this particular dairy over $200,000 in fines, including the most recent. And he's just not paying them. All of the fines are under appeal, Sweeney said. He expects to win the cases if his lawyer succeeds in getting them out of the board's enforcement arm and into the courts. In other words, if he can avoid the actual law and try to get a jury of other Caucasian farmers to let him off the hook. Sweeney has said his dairy has only 280 cows, which is small for by San Joaquin Valley standards. It's still a lot of cows. According to Sweeney, most regional water quality boards in California have exempted small dairies from reporting requirements due to the expense of preparing them, which often requires hiring an engineer and a certified agronomist to prepare. When the reporting requirement was put into place, the dairy industry was reeling economically, he said. But the regional board said in a statement announcing the latest fine that it is simply enforcing the dairy general order adopted in 2009 and revised 3 years ago to protect water quality, i.e. the law. Clay Rogers.
And a regulation that has been put in place, likely with cooperation from the dairy industry.
Yeah, it's not
right?
Like...
I mean, these industries don't get regulated without having a say in what happens.
Of course, yeah, and it's just... I think we'll get into it. You know, this is just a report. You know, there's not like any actions necessarily even based on this. This is just gathering data. This is not even telling them to make any changes. Clay Rogers of the Central Valley Water Quality Control Board said that annual reports are a vital component of the Dairy General Order because they inform the board about manure handling activities at dairies and nutrient management planning on dairy croplands.
And that part, nutrient management planning, means...
Yeah, what does that mean?
That means controlling and monitoring the amount of nitrogen that goes into the spray water when they take the liquids, the somewhat clarified liquids from the dairy, and they use it to grow the crops then feed the cows.
Yeah, and you know, the San Joaquin Valley has been the center of the San Joaquin River. What could go wrong with spraying manure all along the river banks and in the watershed and then not even bothering to report upon it? He probably doesn't want to report upon it because he's probably in violation of other things, though I don't know this. I don't want to get sued.
No, it's just really interesting. I mean, the ag industry in general is all about metrics. Farmers are really good at tracking numbers, and I'm sure this guy could tell you exactly how many gallons of milk one of his cows provided over the year and whether she was worth keeping or culling.
Right.
And yet, this kind of data, which benefits everybody else... He's not willing to provide and build into his business model as a businessman to be a good business person.
And yet I'm sure he's still getting government assistance as needed through the various subsidies, all the while he is violating the law here. You know?
Yeah, I have to get somebody on the show to talk about the California Dairy Quota Program. Mm-hmm. It's just very interesting. There are some changes that will be coming up because it hasn't been modified in a number of years, but it's this whole extra economy layered on top of what just seems like a commodity, like a buy and sell type environment.
Mm-hmm.
You have these extra layers of quotas that make it much more complex and favor big big operators.
Sort of like carbon trading, like they get to trade pollution. Is that where you're getting at, or?
it's not cast in the form of environmental issues at all, though. Anyway. So yeah, thanks a lot. I think that this was news from the Fresno Bee, and I don't think that they took the environmental impact, the environmental problems with this guy nearly seriously enough. They're not in the business of doing that because the Central Valley down there especially is all about.
I wonder how many California farmers are currently not filing these reports.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, this guy hasn't filed since 2009, so they're going to take action.
It took him over a decade to get a newspaper article about it. Right?
Yeah, and you know, this is not uncommon. I may bring up the case of Hillmar Cheese, which had a similar issue with not complying with the State Water Regional Quality Control Board, and just being a scofflaw about it. So to me it just takes down the integrity of the dairy industry yet again. So.
Yeah. All right, Jeannie, what's the next story?
Okay, and our final piece, I wanted to talk about just a really surprising and fun and an amazing interview with the Irish actress Ivana Lynch. In a recent issue of Vegan Food and Living, which is a British magazine about veganism.
So I asked Jeannie to do this in an Irish accent, but I couldn't persuade her.
I actually thought about, like, getting a friend, like, an actor or an actress who could do an Irish accent to, like, read this part. So you'll have to put up with me and just, I guess, just kind of channel Harry Potter. So anyway, as you may know or may not know, Ivana Lynch played the young witch Ivana. What was
Luna Lovegood?
Luna Lovegood, thank you. In the Harry Potter films, and in this interview, she talks about what veganism means to her and how her lifestyle changed for the better after going vegan. So she was asked about what influenced her towards a vegan lifestyle, and she responded, "For starters, I've always abhorred violence, and I'm highly sensitized to it. I do not think it benefits society or indeed any individual to become tolerant of violence. And I have this small but sure voice inside me that says no every time I witness violence. And I don't want to stifle that voice with apathy." Doesn't that just, like, tug at your heartstrings?
Yeah.
That's just like, I think all of us say a little no if we think about what's on our plates. At least I hope we do.
I hope we do.
Anyway, and she goes on to say, "I guess what I'm saying is veganism was always my nature, but it wasn't nurtured in me, so it took me a long time to make the connection. I had gone vegetarian when I was 11 because I was viscerally repelled by the idea of eating animal flesh, and there was no way to avoid the fact that someone had been killed for that piece of meat. But as far as veganism went, I was definitely in cloud cuckoo land, eating my ice cream and imagining that the cows were having a grand old time in the open fields, spouting all this excess milk that was only weighing them down."
You have to milk them, Jeannie, or they will explode.
So I just, for those of you who are in cloud cuckoo land, who, along with Ivana, thinking that, you know, there isn't that much wrong with dairy, I want you to pay attention to this young woman's opening into understanding about the impacts of her food choices. She goes on to say, "It wasn't until I read Eating Animals in 2013 that I understood how inconsistent my vegetarian lifestyle was with my beliefs. And that's when I began making the transition to veganism. I would say it took me until about 2015 to become fully vegan." And I just have to say, if you have not read Eating Animals, if you're interested in the issues surrounding your food choices. Eating Animals is by Jonathan Safran Foer. It's really well written. He's a novelist, and I know I've talked about him on the show before, but I highly recommend that book. So anyway, so the interview went on. She was asked about her philosophy on veganism, and she responded with the following. She quoted the movie Veggiecated, which is also a great film, which in that movie it said, "Veganism is not a, quote, you have to live by certain rules thing. It's not about being perfect. It's about minimizing suffering."
That's it in a nutshell. You know, there's lots of sort of vegan gotcha logical tautologies people try to get involved in or challenge vegans on. And I encourage people not to even go down that road. It's about minimizing suffering to the extent possible.
Yep. "Too many people," she went on to say, "too many people regard veganism as the sanctimonious ideal, holier-than-thou lifestyle. To me, veganism is not synonymous with clean eating and gluten-free, hallelujah, Those are simply dietary choices. I think the root of this whole lifestyle is compassion. It's a daily reminder that we are all one. Mankind already has such a hard time respecting fellow humans of different races, cultures, and beliefs. Imagine what society will be like when we open our circle of compassion to include beings with whiskers and fur and tails. So just the depth of understanding of this young woman, right, to make the leap from human suffering, human prejudice, human violence, and then jumping over to include these non-human animals.
No, it's refreshing. I think we've talked sometimes about the celebrity vegans, and it's often quite discouraging. It is often for them sort of a lifestyle or a way to look cool. And Ivana Lynch here is clearly, you know, an ethical vegan who has actually thought about these issues and researched it.
Yeah. She went on to say, "Every time I look into a cow's eyes and see the gentle soul dwelling in that enormous, powerful body, I feel like the animals are patiently waiting, quietly willing us to just catch on." Absolutely. Absolutely. And then she was asked, she has had some issues, eating disorder issues. And so she was asked about the relationship between those issues and her body image and the media's obsession with women's looks. And she responded to say, "Veganism has definitely helped me to heal my relationship with food. I used to see foods as good or bad and would have been afraid, genuinely fearful, to touch anything full of fat like an avocado or a coconut. But veganism got me to study nutrition and change my perception of these foods. Now, food has a deeper purpose, and my diet has different guidelines. Simply, nourishment and preservation of myself and the planet I live on. I don't even see a vegan cupcake as bad now, because they represent a compassionate movement I'm proud to be part of.
Hallelujah.
I will happily and guiltlessly chow down on cruelty-free cupcakes." I know we've talked about whole foods, plant-based eating. We've talked about low fat, no salt, no oil type eating. That is one end of the spectrum.
I only eat by the light of a full moon.
And so I think that, you know, there are potential pitfalls, and I think that the essence of veganism is a joyfulness about your food. And if you start approaching these restrictions not from a sense of joy, but a sense of fear,
right,
I think that's going the wrong way.
Right.
So.
Oh, you're vegan. What can't you eat? And that's, I'm like, I can eat anything I choose to eat.
Exactly. So that was just, and she went on to conclude, "When you find out who you are, everything about that self, including your body, fits better and you can stand taller in it. And veganism was a very big piece of the puzzle for me." So I just want to encourage folks just to check out that interview. I'll put a link to that on the Non-Human Radio Facebook page. And it was just so refreshing and just so not celebrity-like.
Mm-hmm.
She's so honest with herself and honest with the idea that what she was doing was not in alignment with her values. And making her way to get that alignment, and which brings happiness. You know, I just
that's great. It's refreshing.
Yeah.
I'd like to add, vegano converto.
With your wand?
Yes.
Okay. I should have had a sound effect for that. Anyway. And I just want to rate, she also mentioned that one guideline that helped her a lot in transitioning to a vegan diet was she got from the website vegan.com, which is run by a great activist named Eric Marcus. And on that site, they say, "The most obvious way that people think of to going vegan is to eliminate animal products from your diet. But this method of transitioning is needlessly difficult, and if you choose to go that route, you might be very likely not to stay vegan for you know, a decade or, you know, for the long term. But a better way," this is our little tip of the week, "a better way to approach going vegan, instead of trying out to cut animal products out of your diet, try thinking about crowding them out from your plate. So you'd put the emphasis on constantly seeking out delicious new vegan foods." Emphasize delicious. We want you to enjoy these new food choices. "And every time you find a new vegan food that you adore, that item will push the animal-based foods that you're still eating further to the fringes," right?
That's great advice.
Yeah. "And the more vegan foods you try, the more crowding will happen and the more foods you'll find that you'll like, and it'll be easier to choose the vegan option the next time. So there you go. Don't think about, like, oh, I can't give up meat. Think about, oh, I can add more vegan options.
Right.
And certainly we've talked about some of them, you know, the vegan ice creams, the vegan burgers. We should do We will talk more about vegan food options than we have in the past. Anyway, you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio.
It is now time for the Chico Animal Rights Calendar events. Pull out your calendars and sharpen your pencils.
All right. I am really pleased. There's a Paula coming up this Saturday, July 8th, from 5 to 7 p.m. It is the good old vegan Red Bluff community. They are turning one. This is their 12th wow. vegan potluck in Red Bluff. They are having a birthday party theme. And so check out their Facebook group to get to RSVP to the event and get the address, because they hold theirs at a private residence. So it's free and open to the public. Just go ahead and find them on Red Bluff Vegans, or check out the event calendar on the Non-Human Radio Facebook page. Saturday, July 8th in Chico is also the Party Like an Animal Pup Crawl, which will benefit the Butte Humane Society. It goes from 5 to 9 p.m. You buy a ticket and you can do a pub crawl. Panama Bar and Cafe, Duffy's, 220 Restaurant are just a few of the stops on that crawl. And you get like a little, you know, taste of beer or some kind of special hors d'oeuvre.
Type and, you can, and you can walk if you need to.
Yeah, you don't have to crawl. You can actually stand upright on your two legs and walk. So, anyway, let's see here. What else going on? Saturday, July 15th, Animal Place is holding an open house, a guided tour where you can meet and hear the stories of the incredible rescued animals who call Animal Place their home. You need to pre-register at their website, animalplace.org, or you can check out their Facebook page and make a reservation. That's Saturday, July 15th, and also 2 weeks later on July 29th. And they have tours at 10 a.m. and 11 a.m., and that's Animal Place, Grass Valley in Nevada County. animalplace.org to buy tickets for that. And I think that is, I think that's about it, Danny.
Alrighty.
We have one more thing to take care of, and that's the animal rights quote of the week. Take it away, Danny.
Our quote this week is from Robert Grillo's, or is that Grillo, Jeannie? What do you think?
Oh, no, that's Robert Grillo. He's amazing.
All right. The amazing Robert Grillo's new book, From Farm to Fable, where he is talking how so-called happy meat purveyors are big on what is called snout-to-tail eating, meaning they advocate eating parts of animals not normally consumed in Western culture to eliminate, quote, waste. About this self-deception, Grillo writes, "If it were truly an issue of wasting, we'd do well to consider the enormous waste of precious resources like water and land that raising animals requires. Or how about the fact that about half of the world's edible grain crop is fed to farmed animals instead of the nearly 1 billion hungry?" So, you know, there's a magnitude of scale difference here in what is being saved. Non-Human Radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you. Many thanks to Sue Hildebrand, her engineering assistants, and for her moral support. Stay tuned for Sue's show coming up next, The Real Issue.
This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM, Chico. The views and opinions on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, its volunteers, or its staff.
Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activists Rockers Rise Against. If you missed any portion of this show or you want to listen over and over again, go to the archives at kzfr.org. This is Danny Toms and Jeannie Trezino signing off. Until next week, be different, be better, be kind.
And go vegan.